Welcome to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We are a life-giving church for everyone. We are multi-generational, multicultural, and exist to multiply by reaching our community both locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus.
I think I'm pretty certain I've asked this question before, but I just kind of wanted to circle back for just a second and ask you this question. You know, with all the road construction that we have out here, right, on every single place you look, there's road construction. Let me ask, how many of you deal with road rage? Okay, there's a lot of hands in the building. Oh my goodness. Okay, that was more than I had thought, but all right. Hey, totally honest on a Sunday, amen. So we do get mad on the road. I found that some of the most kind, most loving, most even petite and give the shirt off your back kind of folks, just once they get on the road, turn into a whole totally different person behind the wheel. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, you know, I'd be fine. Let me be honest. I'd be fine if people would just get out of the way. You know what I mean? Just move over. We hogging up the left lane, and you know, so anyway, and then we only have one lane on top of it. So anyway, but you know what the problem that I found is, though? I found that the problem is not their lack of driving skills that we often blame. I found that the real issue is us. We get mad because we can't control the outcome. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get mad when you know you can't control the outcome. You get mad when you know your children should be playing on the team, but yet they're sitting on the bench. And you're up in the bleachers just fuming. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get mad when you've been working your fingers to the bone and you don't get a raise. You get mad when you've been working overtime and undertime and around the clock. And it just seems like you're putting in all this extra work and everybody else is getting the recognition. What do you do when dishonest people prosper and it seems like you're trying to do everything you possibly can to follow God, but yet they're getting rewarded and it seems like you're having things taken from you? You get mad at tax season. Anybody ever get mad at tax season? I don't even want to mention that basketball game last night because we might lose the crowd. But what do you do? What do you do when you cannot control the outcome? We are in part two of a series that we're calling March to Madness. How many of you know that it seems like our nation is on a march to madness? Lord have mercy, especially as we approach this presidential election coming up. Thank God we got through this Super Tuesday without any drama. You know what I mean? But man, let me ask you a question when it comes to controlling things. Have you asked yourself this question? If it's a decision between Biden and Trump, have you prepared your heart to accept the outcome? Some of you are like, well, man, I haven't really thought of it like that. You put it like that, my gosh. Because you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing, if you're watching like mainstream media, I'm seeing both sides saying, we don't know if we're going to accept the results. That means things could possibly get heated in our country. And as the church, as the believers of Christ, as the body of Christ in the earth, we need to be praying for peace for our country. And we need to also pray for unity in the church. Look at somebody and say, you better still love me after this election. Because regardless, thank you, John, regardless, Brad Brothers preaching already, no matter what happens, Jesus Christ is still going to be Lord at the end of the day. Come on, sir, go ahead and preach. But it is our responsibility to pray for peace because we're the only ones on the planet who have been entrusted with God's responsibility to pray. But you know what we do oftentimes is we say, well, that's a job for the prayer warriors. That's a job there for the intercessors. That's a job for those prayer warriors to stand in the gap. That's a job for them to pray for an honest election and to pray for peace in our country. But I've got a message today for you. I've got orders from headquarters to let you know that today you are the prayer warrior God is looking for. You are the person that is called to intercede, that's called to pray for peace, that's called to stand in the gap. You are the person that needs to be praying for the move of the Holy Spirit in your city, in your family, in your, come on somebody, for your church. We collectively are the ones that God is calling us to pray for peace when our culture is on a march to madness. Hey, last week, Pastor Lori kicked us off with a strong message for our series. And as we journey and trace the footsteps of Jesus leading into Holy Week and the cross, and even prior to this text today in Luke 22, the word of the Lord had let us know that, remember when Lori was talking about like that Last Supper and that whole thing, that Satan had entered into the heart of Judas. And so he goes off to the chief priests and to the officers to plot to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. And so I just kind of want to pick it up where we left off in Luke 22 and verse 39. Luke 22 and 39 today. Are the screens working yet? Praise God. Praise God. Hey, shout out to the fellas in the back. Please, please show some love. All right, so I want to look at the text today because this is where Jesus was also counting on his followers to pray while his nation was on a march to madness. So check this out. Luke 22 and verse 39 says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. So he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, but yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's praying hard right there. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word today. Hey, take a look at verse 40, and we're about to get down here. It says, on reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Hey fam, I want to speak to you from the subject today. Pray long to stay strong. Pray long to stay strong. In fact, let's pray right now. Father, we just want to ask today, Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, speak your heart. Share your heart with us, Lord. Share your burden for us, Lord. Share your passion with us, Lord. Share what it is that is on your heart. Father, may you put an anointing. May you put a fire. May you put your spirit in our heart afresh that we might find ourselves being the very agents on this planet that are praying the will of God from the kingdom of heaven here upon this earth in the name of Jesus. Father, today's goal would be that we would understand you have given us an assignment. Lord, that we would understand that we are literally the ones on this earth that you have called to intercede. We love you and we honor you. It's in your name we pray. Can you say amen? Come on, I'm going to need a better amen than that this morning. Hey, there we go. Amen. Hey, verse 45 says this one more time. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Have you ever had to tell your children something more than once? Seems like no matter how many times you tell them, you just got to keep on telling them, right? And they think you're just being a pain. But you're like, listen, I'm telling you, like, this is something really serious. Like, you need to get a hold of this. Verse 45 says that these brothers fell asleep when it was time to pray. And I know sometimes preachers will poke fun at these guys. You'll be, you know, the disciples, you know, they were lazy and maybe they just didn't feel like praying and all these things. But the scripture says that they were exhausted from sorrow. Now, the Greek for the word sorrow means this. It means sadness. And then the American translation goes on to say grief, grievous, grudgingly, heaviness, sorrow. These brothers were exhausted from sadness because Jesus was just telling them that he was about to be arrested and crucified. Like, this is a serious moment. Like, these guys are really, really going through it. And when we read, we didn't even read the part where Jesus said, listen, things are about to go down right now, so why don't you sell what you have and go out and buy some swords? And so they've got two swords on them. Like, they can read the tea leaves. They know it's about to go down to the point where it may even almost get physical. Have you ever been in a situation and you just kind of have an understanding, like, you know, I wonder if this is going to get physical? Right, have you ever like almost, you know, like you can tell when things get really tense? Anybody be like, hey, listen, I'll go off up in here. Hopefully that's not you, but right? Katie and I were working out in the gym and we just work out here in town and there were two old timers in there and it got heated. Man, it got real heated. Like, I couldn't even believe it. I guess one of the elderly men took too much time on the machine, and the other guy got upset about it. And, you know, so, like, one old-timer's got a walker, and the other guy's got a severe limp, right? And we're sitting there listening, and they're yelling back and forth. And Katie texts me. She's like, are you watching this? I'm like, yeah, I'm watching this. Like, I couldn't even believe it. I'm thinking, I'm going to break this up. There is no way I'm going to watch grumpy old men up here. Somebody's going to throw a hip out. You know, like this, we're not going to do this. And I don't know. I thought I heard the dude say something like, take out your teeth, you know, and the other guy was like, oh, yeah. I'd like to see you try it. And so I'm like, man, this is nuts. But you know what? I thought to myself, my gosh, at this stage of the game of your life, you should have learned more like self-control. Don't you think? Like, you're going to be that old and you still are, you know, unable to control you. Like, you should have been learned self-control by now. But madness had gotten the best of these guys. And on top of all that, I've had conversations with both of them. These are church-going guys. Like, one guy goes to a Baptist church, the other guy, I'm pretty certain he's Catholic. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever, you know. Why is Jesus so adamant about being able to pray for so long? So that madness doesn't get the best of us. So that sorrow doesn't get the best of us. Why are you sleeping, he asked. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Because Jesus knew if we're not prayed up, oh my, that temptation will get the best of us. Temptation would get, the term temptation, have you ever studied temptation? Temptation comes from a Greek word, and it means a putting to proof by experiment of good, experience of evil. Solicitation, discipline, or provocation, by implication, adversity. Now that's a lot in there, but it's basically akin to one's faith standing trial in that moment. Jesus is saying your best weapon for overcoming temptation is by the ability to be able to pray long to stay strong. Maybe the reason why we're not overcoming certain areas of temptation in our lives is because of a lack of prayer. Like, our praise is never going to replace our prayer. Our worship will never replace our prayer. Like, our scriptural knowledge will never replace our prayer, because we'll be like, well, if I just study the scriptures hard enough, it'll help me overcome temptation. And that's true. That is true. That does help, because we looked at Jesus. Remember when Jesus was in the desert? He quoted scripture to Satan when Satan came at him. He said, hey, listen, it is written, devil, right? But at the same time, we have to realize Jesus did that after he had came from 40 days of prayer and fasting. Prayer cannot be absent. It's got to be the main ingredient. So Jesus even told his disciples in Matthew 17 and 21, remember when they couldn't cast a devil out of the young child? And they were like, man, we couldn't cast him out. Jesus said, this kind comes but not by much prayer and fasting. Thank you. Thank you for that one. Amen. He's saying, listen, we're going to need to have the ability to be able to pray long to stay strong. So here's a question worth considering. Do you pray? How long do you pray? What's how Kermit does it like this with the pinky out? That's none of my business. I think that's the meme, but that's none of my business. But for real, like, how long do we pray? Like, when we pray, how long do we pray for? How many of you would say, I'd love to be able to pray longer? Well, today, I just want to help with that. And I just feel led to give us a couple of points to help us to stand to pray for ourselves and for others, especially in the moment of temptation. In order to do so, let me just give you a few things to remember. Let me give you this first point, point number one, you can remember, you can only drink from one cup. Have you guys ever tried to drink from two cups at one time? Maybe back in your college days, before Christ. I know I got these red cups up here. I don't want to, you know, set you back. Brother Backslide, I have a flashback or something. But listen, remember, you can only drink from one cup. Now, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I've been there myself. It is a beautiful garden, still maintained till this day in Israel. And it overlooks the great city. And Jesus knelt down to pray, and he said, Father, if you allow this cup to pass from me, let it be. Jesus was coming to the end of his life, to the end of his ministry. He can visually look across the way and see the great city where he would carry his cross through Jerusalem after being whipped and after being beaten in what is known today as the Via Dolorosa, which is an uphill climb. Anybody ever been to Israel before and taken that trip? It's an uphill, slight uphill climb, about a half mile in length, and he's carrying a cross on his back. He would have been able to visualize the place where he was going to be crucified. And verse 42 says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup. The Greek word for this cup is tuto, and it means singular. He's saying, take this cup, take this one cup, this one calling, this one cross from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. And so then the scripture says that Jesus, he came back to check on his disciples in verse 45, and he found them asleep when they should have had his back in prayer. Verse 45 says, when he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. So what can we learn by comparing Jesus and his disciples in this moment of temptation? How can this help us to pray long to stay strong? And the answer is to remember, you can only drink from one cup. Jesus, both him and his disciples, were dealing with heavy stress to the point where the scripture says Jesus sweat blood. That is a significant level of stress. But Jesus' disciples were also heavy in stress because they had a stress so bad it put them to sleep. They didn't just fall asleep because they stayed up too late. That's a stress that caused them to fall asleep. So here's the difference between the two. Jesus knew how to give it to the Father in prayer and was strengthened by angels. The disciples held it all in and due to a lack of prayer didn't get off their plate what needed to be off of their plate and fell asleep from sorrow and from exhaustion. Oh, it's awfully quiet in this Episcopalian church up in here today. Hey, have you ever seen the waiters in the restaurants? You ever see them hold, you know, you're balancing. You ever see them like when they're running through and they come around the corner, you know, and they're just like real quick and you're wondering how in the world are they holding all of those dishes at one time? It's rare that you ever see them drop anything. You know why they're able to carry this without dropping it? Because they know, it's simple. They know how much they can carry at one time. Too many of us are carrying too much. We're trying to do all that we can, but we've got our hands full and we're tired and we're stressed out and we're worn out and we're depleted and we're working too much and our plate is already full, so full to the place where we barely have any time to pray. Because, you know, because you're good at what you do, now we've got situations coming, because now here comes opportunities, and now here comes more obligation and more responsibility, and with more responsibility comes more stress. And you know, more cups, less room, more money, more problems. I think it was an old song, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just so much that comes upon us to where we can't even handle it. And it's awesome, but man, sometimes success leads to exhaustion. And when you're tired and your hands are full and you're off balance and you barely have any time to pray, watch this. That's when the devil looks for opportunities to bring temptation. In those moments. And if it's not you, it's your children that he goes after while you're distracted with the success of, oh my Lord, I know I'm preaching up in here already. Hence the phrase, well, my plate is full right now. I really can't do a whole lot. I got a full plate, Pastor. We need to remember, hey, listen, we can only carry one cup at a time. Jesus said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, this cup. Not my will, but your will be done. We need to master the art of letting some stuff go. I'm not trying to judge anybody in here. In fact, I guess I'll just turn around. But maybe we need to simplify our lives a little bit so that we might be able to pray long to stay strong. I'm not going to look at you, but maybe we need to eliminate some things off of our plate. Maybe we need to sell the house we can't afford. Maybe we need to get rid of another one of those car payments. Maybe we need to cut the cable because we got on HBO 1, HBO 2, HBO 3, HBO 4, HBO 5, Hulu, Netflix, and most of the stuff we probably shouldn't even be watching anyway. But that's none of my business. What's on your plate that God is calling you to eliminate so that we might find ourselves drinking from the one cup that God called us to drink? Hey, this might be worth writing down, but maybe you ought to jot this question down. What do I need to take off of my plate so that I can pray long to stay strong? Hey, why is this important? Because point number two, sometimes the people who are closest to you can hurt you the most. Verse 47, Luke 22 and 47. This okay, everybody? All right. He said, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. Verse 48 says, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? This was a great sign of affection, the kiss. The kiss is a great sign of affection. Glenda's mother just greeted me with a kiss in the back. We haven't seen her in a while. It's a beautiful thing. It's a sign of affection. It's a sign of respect. And you know what? The one interesting thing to me about this whole relationship with Jesus and Judas is Jesus always knew Judas was going to betray him, but yet he still kept him on the team. Have you ever asked yourself, why in the world would you still keep him on the team when you know he was going to betray? I call this the Godfather principle. Have you ever seen that show, The Godfather? When Michael Corleone is sitting in the living room with a friend of his and he's reminiscing about a wisdom nugget that his father gave him. And he said his father told him in that room, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Some of you are like, I remember that movie. All right. So while the devil's playing one-dimensional chess, your God is up there playing 5D chess, and he is committed to fulfilling his plan for your life that he has purposed in you before the foundation of the world. And if he needs to use a Judas to get you there, he can do that too. Oh, my goodness. God can use your enemies to bless you. You might need to make a little bit of room on your plate so that God can bless you by way of your enemies, so that God can bless you by way of your opposition, by way of the person who has been against you, by way of your boss or your coworker or the person who's been giving you a hard time because you know you've been trying to live your life as a Christian. God might use your enemies in this season of your life to bless you. So don't get mad at them. If anything, pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who want to cause fights and who want to bring hard times to you. Show them hospitality. Hey, guys, come on in. Come take a seat at the table right here. Let's have lunch together. I know you may betray me. I know you may double cross me. But hey, come on in. I also know God is going to use you to get me to the place where I'm able to fulfill my purpose in Him. Thank God my enemies are not in charge. I'm not in their hands. I'm in God's hands. In fact, come on over here. Let me get a kiss, baby. Hey, Jesus showed us exactly how He wants us to respond in chaotic situations, and that is with trust and in confidence in what God can do. Let me give you this next point. Verse 49 says, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, Jesus said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting his right ear. Interesting insight into this. We know from the synoptic gospels, being Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The synoptic gospels let us know that it was the disciple. His name was Peter. And so we know that Peter was the one who cut the ear off of this soldier. But what was interesting to me was the disciples' request, where they called out to Jesus and said, Lord, should we strike them with our swords? But in the heat of the moment, under the pressure, there's no indication that Jesus ever gave them an answer. Have you ever called out to the Lord? Well, I mean, when you really needed Him the most to answer prayer, but the Lord stayed silent. I mean, Lord, should we do it? And you don't hear anything. Point number three, remember, sometimes God answers prayer in His silence. Sometimes God answers prayer in His silence. We do this with our kids all the time, don't we? All right, they're like, Mama, you want me to clean up my room? And you're like, I'm not even yelling back down the hallway to tell them something that they should already know the answer to, right? Mama! And she's just sitting there. Just sitting there, not even giving an answer. Just sitting there, right? That's probably kind of like where we're at here with Peter, right? Peter, he probably is looking at Peter and saying, listen, when have I ever advocated for violence? Right? Like, Peter, you're asking me, should I strike a man with a sword? Have I ever given an indication in all the years that we've been together? You've been walking with me. We've bathed in the same creek together. We've had a meal. You know me. Have I ever advocated for violence? Because some Bible scholars may say, listen, wars have been used in the name of this scripture right here because they said, well, Jesus said, go buy some swords. Well, wasn't it so that they could get physical and fight? No, it was actually to fulfill a prophecy. In Isaiah 53 and verse 12 specifically says, therefore, I'll give him a portion among the great and he will divide the spoils with the strong because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You got time to look at one more scripture? Let's take a look at one more. It's not on the screen, but watch this. Luke 22 and verse 36. Luke 22 and verse 36 says, but he said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Where was that written? Right in that scripture in Isaiah we just read. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in time. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. So the disciples said, hey, Lord, here are two swords. And Jesus said, that's enough. Listen, Jesus wanted his disciples to buy these swords so that it would appear to the authorities that his disciples were transgressors. That was the whole purpose of getting these swords. So in Jesus' silence, he communicated to Peter, Peter, you should know me better than that by now. Hey, I know we can hear God in church. I know we can hear God in our favorite podcast. I know we have other people who speak into our lives and tell us God's will, but God wants to get us to the place in relationship with him where we can hear his voice even when he stays silent. Silence is a forgotten virtue in the church today. We have got to get back to mastering the art of learning to sit in silence. Maybe the reason why we're not getting answers to prayer as we wish we would is because we're praying prayers. Yes, we're in prayer for sure, but we're not sticking around long enough in silence to hear God's response. Back to the art of silence, shutting it all down and just saying, okay, Lord, go ahead and speak. Remember, sometimes God answers prayer in silence. Hey, but Peter was ready to go off on somebody, though, wasn't he? Uh-oh. He hit that road rage button. He's like, all right, Jesus, listen. Okay, I asked, but if you're not going to do nothing, well, then I'm going to go ahead and make something happen by myself. Come on, give me that blade. Let me go ahead. I'll cut somebody up in here. He holds up his sword. He strikes the soldier, cuts his ear off. That's madness. Now, we're not saying to ignore anger. That's not what this is all about, right? Like as though we never get mad. You ever get those kinds of people when you ask them, hey, you doing all right? You know they're angry. No, I'm fine. No, really. Yeah. And those are like the most dangerous kinds of people. They're on the Hulu documentaries and stuff. But the Bible identifies there's a such thing as righteous anger. There is such a thing as righteous anger, but it's the kind of thing that leads to righteous justice according to the judge in heaven, not us acting like we are the righteous judge in heaven. Let me give you this last point. Verse 51 says, but Jesus answered, no more of this, and he touched the man's ear and healed him. God is good. Number four, remember, God's grace is greater than your mistakes. Remember, God's grace is greater than your mistakes. And Jesus took matters into his own hands so that we didn't have to. When he saw that situations were beyond our control, that we could not control, he stepped in. See, here's what Peter seemed to be mad about. He's like, Jesus, why are you allowing this to happen? Oh my. Lord, why are you letting us go through this? Lord, why are you letting us go through this sorrow? And why are you letting us go through this sickness or through this divorce or through this separation or through this pain or through this sickness and you can't fix it? Jesus, I thought you were going to intervene. I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been serving, I've been giving, I've been tithing, I've been doing everything right. I love you and I've been serving you, but why are you allowing this to happen in my life? And when it comes down to it, Peter was mad at God. That says, hey, well, if you're not going to do anything about it, man, let me go ahead and take care of something. Let me go ahead and make something happen. Let me go ahead and take care of this. And then we saw what he did. Cuts a man's ear off. But watch the grace. Because Jesus not only heals the man with the wounded ear, but you know what he did for Peter? He just bailed him out of a mistake that would have gotten him arrested, put in jail, possibly even killed. That was an assault charge on a soldier that comes with a prison sentence at the minimum. Thank God that His grace is greater than our mistakes. Let me end with this. This is why Jesus told His disciples before this moment, He said, especially, just to paraphrase, this is why you need to pray long to stay strong. So that when temptation comes in the moment, when it presents itself, we will not fall, but we'll be able to overcome temptation. If we will learn to master the art of praying long to stay strong. So what do you do when you can't control the outcome? Come on, somebody shout it out. Hey, amen. Pray, but not just for a few minutes, that we pray long to stay strong. Remember you told me you wish you would pray more? Let me just end by giving you this last little spiritual workout plan. I call it the clock challenge. I just want to close with this. The clock challenge. I'm praying that we would lean in a strong way into this clock challenge. And it's a private challenge. You don't have to tell anybody about it. You don't have to tell anybody where your status is and all that. But for the next 21 days, from now until Easter, I believe that's 21 days, I want you to time how long you pray. I want you to time how long we pray. So just make a daily prayer log on your phone. Take your phone, put a little prayer log on there. If you're old school and you still, write down things in notes, go ahead and make a log for each day. And when you go to pray, just press start on your clock. Press start on your stopwatch and then forget about it. Like, don't even pay attention to it and go ahead and just pray as you normally would. And when you're done, then just go ahead and press stop and then write your time down. And be honest. Be honest about how long you prayed. Right? Be honest about how long you, because it really doesn't matter how long you prayed in that moment, because we're going to do that for a week. And once you've challenged yourself and you've done that for a week, the next week, we're just going to increase it by 5 minutes. 5 minutes the very next week, that's all. So that means if you only prayed 5 minutes the first day, and that's all you can do, right? Be like, man, I prayed and I got a text and I looked down and it was only 3 minutes. It's all right. If you prayed 5 minutes, that's okay. For all we know, Jesus' disciples only prayed for 5 minutes, right? There's no indication how long they prayed. He could have came back and said, how long you prayed? They would have been, I don't know how long you've been gone. You know, we just got done as soon as you came, you know, like, so we have no indication, right, fellas? We prayed. But each week for the next 21 days, we're going to increase our prayer time by 5 minutes per week. Now, if you want to get aggressive, hey, increase it 10 minutes. Increase it 5%. That's fine. But the goal is that we would build up our prayer life so that we could stand when times of temptation come. That we would build up our prayer life so that we might be able to pray for ourselves and for others. I want to ask the worship team. They seem to be chomping at the bit. To ask the worship team if they would come out. Thank you guys so much for taking care of these cups for me. Hey, I want to ask if we would just stand as we go before the Lord and worship. And you know, one reason why I really, really feel strongly on my heart that the Lord is calling us to pray, it's not so that we just have a small exercise of trying to be able to pray. Lord, I sense in my spirit, family, that the church truly, truly has to pray for peace during this election that's coming up in November. I'm telling you, I sense it in my spirit. I sense it in my spirit that if we do not pray, I'm not even gonna go negative. I believe God is calling us to pray so that we see complete unity in the church. If the culture goes into madness mode, we will still be able to pray right here in the church because we can't be divided in here. We have a unified praying spirit that allows peace to be released in our town, in our city, in our nation. God is calling us to pray like never before. And so I feel burdened, and I want to make sure that when it's time to go out there and run, we're ready. We've been working out in the off season. I don't even want to ask if you've ever tried to run when you haven't for a minute, what happens, right? But church, we need to be able to pray. Hey, away with getting distracted with I can't pray for more than 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Away with getting so distracted we can't intercede and pray for ourselves and pray for our families and pray for our children. It's time for us to be able to pray for ourselves and to pray for our loved ones and to not rely upon others praying for us, though we have others praying for us. Can you say amen? Worship team, come on out. Jeremy, would you come, sir, please? Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us. Lord, thank you for helping us to stand in the gap. Lord, I just ask that the word would not be hindered today. Lord, I pray that the word that was spoken would be able to get into our hearts and it would bring some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Lord, I'm praying that the inability of the communicator would not hinder the potency of your word and your message and your heart that you're trying to communicate, Lord. So we ask that we would have those ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church when we leave here today, Lord. May we be able to hear you. Father, I pray that for anybody who has not been able to hear your voice, Lord, that you would allow us to have patience in prayer. Father, that we wouldn't mind setting time aside so that we could just even sit in silence and hear you, Lord. We give you thanks for speaking to our hearts. We thank you that you love us. We honor you today, Lord. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message inspired, encouraged, and challenged you in your walk with Jesus. Join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at Orange High School or online via our YouTube channel. For more information about Gen Life or to connect with us, visit generationlifechurch.com.